Please pardon me. I'm slightly amiss. I couldn't believe it. I opened this up, and I was using a New International Version. I left it at home. And I opened it, and I thought, it's not marked in here. What? You left the Bible at home that you marked. So anyway, you know, that happens. The VA docs are telling me, oh, we say that kind of stuff all the time with people your age. Don't worry about it. It's normal at your age now. And today we're going to begin a little series, a little mini series, on just seeing how long it goes, where we need to go with it. We only have 2 points today, but they're significant points. Now, listen, on this particular, I titled this The Word of God. These are the things that we stand on. We, as Christians, the church. You can call this the doctrinal foundation of Christianity, of the church, and it certainly is of this church. And so I titled it The Word of God because there's so much doubt, there's so much confusion, and there's so many people that have become pluralist in churches. Many pastors are pluralist. And I hit on that a week or two or three ago, I don't remember, but I'll say it again. They believe that they won't take a firm stand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that you can get to heaven by several avenues. That's pluralism. We stand on the fact, our basic foundation on the Word of God is that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the scripture says there, he continues that passage, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And that's not to judge other people, put down anyone. It's simply to say, that's the way it is. That's what the Bible says. We're not pluralist. We're single-focused, single-minded on that. And we stand on it. So today, to get us to the basics, so that we know where we're at, and what we believe, what the Bible says, not what we want it to say. And I'll begin this with the 2 Timothy passage that I forgot to mark in here. And thank you, Terry, for the use of the pen to mark this real quick. It's not a long passage. It's just 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. But it says this, and this is what leads us into it. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful, hear that, all Scripture is God-breathed, all of it. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God, or all people of God, may be thought thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there it is. And he said, this is what it's useful for. So we're going to talk about the Word of God. And these 2 points, but there's quite a few notes. This is more probably, you'll have more of a teaching than a preaching. And because, you know, God's just, it's like it's time we did this. And I mentioned it a while back, and now we're here. So the first thing that we want to be convinced of and absolutely sure of. Number one, the Bible was written by men who were divinely inspired. Why is that necessary to be said? Because theology of today, and many, I've heard this and heard it and heard it, and I'm just worn out with it, but it's a prevalent stand out here amongst those who have issues with the Bible, and this is what they say. I believe some parts of the Bible and not other parts. That's what they tell me. That's what they tell you. This is often around that 40 to 50 year old group, 35 in there, that was a whole lot of those that was raised on the entitlement group. And they come at me and they'll come at you and they'll say, here's what the problem with the Bible is. I believe some of the Bible that really is God's word, but when men write this stuff, they put in their own personal opinions and prejudices. And that's why it's so hard on certain groups of people, certain types of lifestyles, and so on and so on. And if you're not careful, that's what our kids are being taught in a lot of schools too. And a lot of colleges and universities, if they say anything about it, it's you can't trust the Word of God because it was written by people who were prejudiced and put in what their own views. You know, I have an issue not only with that, but when you say that it's with science, you still teach the theory of evolution as it were fact in every school and university, and it's never been proven. The missing link has not been found, yet you stand on something as ignorant and stupid as that you can't prove, and it's a theory, but then you'll turn around and say, well, we know what we're talking about. We're scientists. There's no one, anyone more misled than a scientist. They say, we only use fact. Really? And so it's a fact that we came from a little amoeba, a great explosion in space, and then we were a little sea creature, and we graduated up the line. And then we descended from apes, right? Now, I'm having more difficulty with that in one way because of what I see in Congress these days. I'm wondering maybe there is some ape connection. With baboons, mostly. But outside of that, getting back to this in a serious mode, we're told to believe the most ignorant and out of zone things in the realm of science. You know, we're told how old the earth is, and yet we're, you know, it's millions and millions of years old. And God says, no, it's not that old, around 6,000 years old, and not much more, because He created it. And so there are those that say, but we've got carbon dating. Carbon dating has never been proven to be really accurate. So don't believe all this stuff. So I'm not here to get into the scientific versus theology thing. I'm simply saying, when somebody says to you, and giving you some basis for argument to stand your ground, and they say, these people were just people. And they put in their own views, like you haven't. And they can, and then they look at you and say, what do you mean? You're putting in your own views by confronting me. All you're confronting me with is your opinion. So we really have nothing to debate about, do we? I have the Word of God and you have your opinion. And it's much like your own armpit. And that's where you got to handle this stuff and walk off. And when people start throwing their opinion at you, just keep it in that perspective. So let's look at this. The Bible was written by men who were divinely inspired because it says all of Scripture is what God breathed. And that's why I wanted to read this out of 2 Timothy. And what does that mean? Yes, it is God breathed, and it was written by men who were divinely inspired. And these very people were human. They were human. And they had their own human weaknesses. But they were divinely inspired. And you say, what does that mean, Tony? I mean, you know, by the way, when we say this Bible was written by men who are divinely inspired, it's to be lived by divinely inspired people. Think about it. Now, this is basic doctrines. It's not doctrines that are taught in churches anymore. Very few seminaries even. And yet, this is what it's all about. Who wrote the Bible? God did, through people who were divinely inspired. He took them over through His Holy Spirit. They weren't themselves. They were really completely human, and all of a sudden, they weren't. And they wrote what God told them to write. And in those moments of Old Testament times when the Holy Spirit didn't permanently dwell in people, He came upon them, and they wrote exactly what God wrote and did what God said. And prophets prophesied exactly what God told them to prophesy. But His Spirit wouldn't stay on them all the time because they didn't have Jesus yet. And the only way for the Holy Spirit to stay in you permanently is for you to permanently have Christ in you, your hope of glory. Is everybody with me on this? So here are these people, and the doubting people like to say, well, it was written by this, and here's the premise. These were real people living real lives. And then one day, listen, a bush burned. An angel appeared. God's voice spoke. The Holy Spirit came upon them. He empowered them. He possessed them. He brought them out of their own humanity. Listen to this. This is what happened, and this is why they were divinely inspired. A bush burned, an angel spoke, or appeared, and God spoke. Holy Spirit came upon them, and suddenly this human with all the weaknesses is a divine being, is possessed by the divine, and they come out of their cells. In other words, they're in another realm. They're in a spiritual realm. They don't even know who they are, what they are at the moment. They're instruments in the hands of the living God. They've become mightier than humans. They become greater than themselves. They're greater than their own humanity through the power of God's Spirit. They became spiritual instruments in the hands of Almighty God. This is what happens to divinely inspired people. This same thing that happened to them is what God intends to happen to every one of us. We have the Holy Spirit in us permanently when we truly confess our sins and ask and repent of them, ask Jesus in our heart. And at any moment, in whatever sense it may happen, the bush will burn. An angel will appear. God's voice will speak, and the Holy Spirit will just totally overpower you and flow out of you as rivers of living water. And suddenly you're uttering words you never knew you'd utter. You're prophesying things you didn't know you'd prophesy. You're understanding scripture you've never understood before. And this is the same thing that's supposed to happen today when God brings you out of yourself. Amen. And you become divine, holy. Now, we're supposed to be doing that all the time, but our humanity gets in the way. But just think about it. You've had those moments, haven't you, when you're just reading the scripture or something and you're praying and suddenly you know there's something, you're different. His presence is there. And there's a divine happening and an understanding, an insight, a revelation that you've never had before. And you sense His presence and you don't want it to go away. It happens up here often, you know, and I don't want it to leave. And it's like, oh, stay. But there suddenly you'll hear me going along, and then you know, I've heard people say, we could tell the Spirit just got all over you. You just had, that's right, that's that divine happening. It happened to these people. They're living everyday lives, and then all of a sudden, I mean, you're going along and the bush is burning. And the next thing you know, you're in Egypt. And you're confronting Pharaoh. I mean, and you're writing scripture and you're prophesying and you're doing these things. And friends, God is showing this. Listen, we call this the progressive revelation. We'll get into that. Then that's the next point. But God was beginning to reveal Himself that way, and He still does. And He was showing how He can come up on a mortal human being and turn them into something spiritual and different and higher and above themselves. These people, in other words, all of a sudden weren't just living on planet Earth. They were living in heaven. Their feet might have been on this soil, but their hearts and minds were in God, in Christ, in heaven. And He started pouring out His word and saying, write this, put this down, emphasize it this way. No, there's no error. There's no error when God appears on the scene and it's God doing it Himself. And every one of us in here can have this kind of thing happening in our lives. They were suddenly drawn by the hands of Almighty God into another dimension, the spiritual dimension of heaven. Listen, this is exactly what God through His Holy Spirit is working in us. He wants us to become, listen, He wants us to become more than ourselves. This very day, He wants you to become more than yourself, more than just your human old cussing, raving, throwing a fit self. He wants to come upon you and fill you from within through the power of His Holy Spirit, because your body is the temple, living God, temple of the Holy Spirit, and make you something more than mortal. Do you not realize you're immortal in Christ? While this body will go, but your spirit, your soul won't, you're going to heaven and you're going to be given a whole new body. Do you realize that? You will not die. Your body will, but not you. I don't know why we don't grasp that. And if we can grasp that, then suddenly we grasp that I'm a divine being. And God draws me into His Word, into His presence. And there's bushes are burning all the time if you just look. Angels are protecting you all the time if you just see them. Don't you see something coming right at you on the freeway and suddenly for some reason it shouldn't have happened? It just veers away? What do you think did that? And God wants you to see with spiritual eyes and hear with spiritual ears and perceive with your spiritual heart that He's at work. That He's doing with us, He wants to do with us just what He did with them. He enveloped them in His Spirit. They became more than human. They were spiritual beings belonging to the higher order. And then, listen, they were spiritual beings belonging to a higher order, God's order, not the new world order, God's heavenly order. So if you say, He hasn't spoken to me that way. Oh, yes, He has. I am aware, and I want you to be aware, and I know for a certainty that God has spoken to you in this way. You say, Tony, how do you know that? Because you would not be saved and be here today if God had not spoken to you this very way. He spoke to you and convicted you of your sins, and He said, ask my Son Jesus in your heart. I have called upon you. And the Scripture says no one can come to Christ unless he's what? First called. And God calls him. And God spoke to every person in this room. You know Jesus? Then you've heard the voice of the living God speaking to you. You didn't even realize it, did you? You said, oh, I'm just going along and I realized I was a sinner. What? How did you realize that? God spoke to you. You heard His voice once, then hear it again. And again. And again. As you read this Word, as you pray through it, the Word of God. We'll read this in, next time we come in, over in Hebrews. It's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So everyone in this room that knows Christ has listened and heard the voice of the living God just like they did. And you did something totally divine. You repented. You confessed. And you accepted His Son Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Never thought about it, did you? Never realized how close you and God have come. I'm amazed. I'm overwhelmed by it. We've all heard the voice of God. I have to hear the voice of God in my heart through His Word to bring these messages. For Him to say, now's the time. I've been waiting. When do you want me to bring this very doctrinal, deep study? And it's like, now. And I'll tell you, my first thought was right before Thanksgiving. And it's like, now. Okay. Secondly, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself to His creation, to His people, His humanity. The Bible is God's revealing from the very beginning, and that's where we hear this term, if you haven't. And all of us have been to seminary, have heard it. Progressive revelation, where God progressively revealed Himself all through the Old Testament into the New, from the creation in the book of Genesis to the sending of His Son in the New Testament era. And God was showing all the different facets of Himself and what He can do and capable of doing. His great love for us, all of it. And so the Bible is written by men who are divinely inspired, and the Bible is God's revelation of Himself to all humanity. God reveals Himself as just and hard and tough and kind and loving. had many people say, Tony, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New. Yes, He is. You get in my position and mess with Him and you'll find out He is definitely the same God. You get out of fellowship with Him and start running into your own sins and just see how far you go before you realize, yeah, He's still that same God. He loves me, but He'll discipline the living dickens out of me. Now, that's not theological, but that's my term for it. God's revelation of Himself to humanity, to you and me, is this, that God reveals His power. Listen, He moved across the face of the waters. So what has He done? Listen to this. Pay attention, because you need it. God revealed in the Old Testament His powers to create. He created the heaven and the earth. God reveals His power to organize. And most of all, for all of you who need this right now, God revealed Himself as the God who's able to make something out of nothing. This record of Genesis and God moving across the waters and the darkness and the deep and separating the firmaments. Don't you understand? Grab this. Listen to what God's saying. He's the same God that can do that in your life today when darkness comes. When the waters cover the face of the earth in your life. When you can't see up, you can't see out. You don't know how you're going to get out of this mess. God's saying, I've already shown you in the book of Genesis and all through the whole entire Bible that I create something out of nothing. You expect me always to take what is and make it better. What if I want to chunk what is and take something out of nothing and work a miracle for you? So quit looking at what is and look at me who can do. That's why He's done this. That's why this is so important. We understand that the whole doctrinal meaning and message in this. He revealed Himself as able to do this. He made this whole thing. He shows us He can organize. He can separate. He can raise. He can lower. He sets boundaries and He makes distinctions. You say, what? He raised mountains and He lowered valleys and gullies and canyons. Go look at the Grand Canyon and say, look at this. He raised the mountains and He lowered the canyons. He can raise up the people who are humble before Him as mountains, spiritual mountains, and He can take those who think they're high and mighty and He can make them nothing but gullies and canyons. There's some right now going to find that out. They may be elected in office by people, but they're fixing to meet their God. God, listen to this. God took chaos and disorder, and He organized and He turned it into beauty and majesty. So with the chaos and disorder that you feel in your life right now, that you see in government, that you see in our whole society, realize with your prayers, with your openness to God, all of us committed together to seeking His face and honoring Him, He can heal our land. If we humble ourselves before Him, right, and confess our sins, He will heal our land. Look what He can do. He's already shown He can take chaos and He can take disorder and He organize it and He'll take what's ugly in your life. He can do it. God's done it before. He's done it over and over and over, and He can turn it into beauty and majesty. He can take you with all the ugliness of sin in your life, whatever it is that you're running from, that you're afraid somebody's going to find out, and He can turn that into beauty and majesty. God is able. God's done it before, and God will do it again. God reveals how He created humanity, human beings, and gave them Eden, that majesty and beauty that was in Eden. And God reveals how His human beings rebelled and rejected what He gave them. He can be reveals that they continually, human race, continually chooses evil and chaos, just like they did. This is God's revelation of Himself. It's a revelation of humanity that He created and how we work with Him and how we rebel against Him. his progressive revelation. God reveals that he was strong and he was tough and yet still tender. He was this way with his Old Testament people because they were tough. Let's deal with this issue right now. Why was God so hard on those people in those days? Because those people were hard people in those days. They just didn't hear nice. They didn't know what the Lord love meant. And you look at their enemies around them. Those Old Testament days, it was a rough place to live. You didn't live to be very old. Most people didn't. You died by famine, died by war, suffering. And you just wouldn't hear a loving God. But I'll tell you what they did hear. They did hear the fire on Mount Sinai for a bit. And they did hear when God opened up a hole in the ground, a pit, and killed about several thousand of them. Why? Because they were rebelling, built, and they formed a golden calf. That's the God we're talking about. He was a tough God then because he was dealing with a tough people. And they didn't get it. Now let me say something to you. And this is hard. It's very difficult not to chase too far with some of this. There are nations today, and I hear people and they get mad at the president and they say, why is he doing this and doing that over there? Let me tell you something. We think that people of other countries are like us in their beliefs, in their compassion, in the way they see the world, and they're not. There's bloodthirsty people out there. There's bloodthirsty nations, and they don't understand love, and they don't understand compromise. They don't understand ambassadors and peace talks. You know what they understand? Violence. And we need to learn this from God. When you're dealing with a violent, rough people, sometimes you got to be violent and rough in return. Do you think the Soviet Union is ever going to compromise and pull out where they are now in that war in Ukraine? They're going to do it when we stand up to them and say, one more move, buddy, I'm going to take you off the face of the earth. Now put up and shut up. That's what they understand. The Soviet Union has never understood anything but tough people, tough ways. They deal in violence. They are cutthroats. They're vicious, just like communist China. And you can't stand here and mess around, and we're going to negotiate. And all these little wussies out here saying, let's talk peace, talk peace. We'll get peace once we've had war, and tell them to do it or not. You with me? That's what God learned it from God. That's what he had to, that's what he did with the Philistines and the tribes of the Old Testament that stood against his people. What did he do? Did he say, David, come here, son. Come here, little David. Go sign a peace treaty with them. He said, you go in there and you kick their butts, and I want you to knock them all in the dirt, and not one of them's going to live. And there's a time, friend, that you've got to realize that's what God does, and we better quit being a people who don't get it, and we just tiptoe through the tulips. No, sir, buddy. He's the God that loves us very much, and he's just not going to take bull from anybody. And you and me as Christians, we're here to love and even love our enemies. But he did not say for one moment we're ever to stand here and let those enemies stomp on our backs. I can love a person, but I can stand my ground and say, I love you, I'll feed you, I'll care for you, I don't like what you're doing, but you're not going to beat up my son, my daughter, you're not going to hit my wife, my friend. If you do, I'm all over you. If you want to slap me in the face for being a Christian, then I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. But when you slap my friend and my family member for being a Christian, I'm on you. Stink on a skunk. I'm there. So you just look at God. Okay. I chased that little one around enough. Let's get him back in. Through it all, God had to deal with people that were tough to deal with. They were strong. As the scripture says, they were very self-willed, stubborn-hearted people. Hard-headed people to deal with. And so are we, aren't we? And through it all, though, we see God's true tenderness. We see His love for His people. Through every book of the Bible, no matter how tough had to be God, no matter how tough God had to be with His people, we see His love. Because He created us. And He puts up with a lot of junk. He puts up with more junk than I could. Let me ask you something. Sit down one day and write a little paper and title it this, "If I Were God." Won't you write what you would do if you were God? Are there some people in Congress that would you allow to be alive? They'd be dead already if I was God. That's why I'm not. Listen to this. God continually reveals His love, His tenderness, His compassion, forgiveness, His patience to us, no matter how rebellious we are. And finally, we see it culminating all through this progressive revelation. We see this tough and tender, loving God being so hard here, hard and tough there, tender here. Now think about it. The people rebelled in the wilderness, and God sent serpents, and they were biting people, and they were dying. And God said to Moses, "Here's where we're going to stop this. I want you to put a bronze serpent up on a pole and make the people look up. And when they look at the bronze serpent, when they look on the pole, then they'll be saved from these snake bites." And that was a foreshadowing. Why? Because He was saying, they looked up on the pole and they were saved. And He's saying, one of these days, I'm showing love and compassion to people who all need to die in this wilderness because they've rebelled and wouldn't even go into the promised land, and to punish them for it. But one day they're going to look up, and it won't be a bronze serpent on a pole that'll save them. It'll be Me in the presence and form of My Son, Jesus Christ. And that was a foreshadowing, you see. God and everything in the Old Testament is foreshadowing. His organizing from chaos, doing all this, putting it together, bringing light into the darkness. That's what He's doing now. It was just done in that way to show us He's the same God, and He brings light into our darkness. He lifted Jesus up on the pole, on the cross. He already foreshadowed it way back there. That was a prophecy. This is going to happen again, except it'll be Me there in the presence of My Son, Jesus Christ. And when you look upon Him, you gaze upon Him. You believe in My power in Him. You accept Him into your heart. You shall be saved. I was just going to stay calm in this. God is revealing Himself. He's working in you right now. His Spirit is moving across your darkness. He is separating the firmament in your life. He's keeping the floodwaters in your life in their boundaries so you're not overwhelmed by your troubles when the floods come, the floods of disaster, death, illness, losing someone you care about. See, those are all floods that beat against us. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And He sets a boundary and He says, only so much. Only so much. What He did there, see it, is still doing the same thing in our personal lives. And He's creating order out of chaos for you. No matter what it seems like you for you today, there is a God who's been there, done that, and He'll do it again for you. He'll change you. He'll organize you. He'll recreate you like He did the earth. It was void and without form. In the Hebrew, tohu and bohu. It was void without form. And God moved across the face of the earth. That's what He's doing. You may feel void and without form, but God is saying, you're My workmanship, My creation. I made you for good works. I'm not through with you. And no matter how dark your life seems today, I'm telling you, I'm bringing light from the firmament. I'm going to change your darkness into light like I did back then, and I'm doing it now. He's recreating. He's taking the chaos out of your life. He's turning you into a creation, a beauty and majesty. He's taking everything you've been through and He's going to make it beautiful. He's going to make it great. But just yield to Him. So let God, through Jesus Christ, come into your heart. You are His crowning beauty. You're His masterpiece. I close with this. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which Christ prepared in advance for us to do. God inspired this word, gave it to people divinely inspired, and He's revealed Himself so He could reveal Himself to you right now and say, I am your God. You are my people, created unto good works to glorify me, the living God. Let's just take a moment. Just bow your head and say, God, do I get it? Help me get it. I've been so wrapped up in my chaos and the darkness and the floodwaters, not realizing that You've already set a boundary for all these things. They can only go so far. Not realizing that I'm Your workmanship, that You created me here to be more than a conqueror through Christ. What am I doing? Why am I behaving this way? Why am I forgetting the God who moved across the face of the earth and made all this is the same God that's moving across my heart now and doing what He did then in a beautiful, powerful, loving, majestic way? He's taken your hurts and your pains, your depression, your worries, your doubts, your fears, and He's going to make order out of it. He's going to bring good from it. He already is. Let Him. Say, come, Lord Jesus, be this in my life. Oh, God, bring me out of myself. I'm a divine being. I'm heaven made. I'm heaven sent. Oh, Lord, bring me out. And let the beauty and the light of the Lord shine in my life. Lord, thank You for revealing Yourself to me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all for being here.